Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacey and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey's the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from and podcast@verypink.com. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I just made a face because of the dogs.
I know. I saw Helby run out of the room, and I guess my mind was thinking, is he going to go bug the old man? Or is he? Just email your question to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from.
There you go.
There we go. This is episode 156, and if you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 156. Okay, I made it through that part at least.
Woo.
I wonder how I'm going to do on knitting questions now. No problem. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm great. Kids are in school.
Kids are in school. As of today, you took kids to school and came over here to record some podcasts. How does it feel? What are you going to do with your day with no kids?
I thought as I was driving here, I was like, I should have not scheduled anything. I should have just had a spa day.
Yes, a spa day. Except for we have to record the podcast.
I know. But now my list of things that I put off while they were home is
right,
much longer.
Right. You have more hours to yourself.
Yes.
It's so weird. You know, growing up in the North is so different than here in Texas. School starts really early. And it's still so hot outside when the kids are going to school.
I don't know why. So it's not this hot. I mean, it's hot in May, but it's not 105 hot. Like you would think that the schools would save money on air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also funny that my whole life, my whole school life, elementary school, junior high school, you'd go get new summer clothes. And those new school clothes were sweaters and long pants and things. You'd wear new school clothes on the first day of school.
Yeah. And my kids aren't clothes carrying kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't even bother buying them anything until the fall.
No, because they just wear their summer clothes to school.
Yesterday I was like, you want to go get some new clothes? And he was like, sure. He wanted to just get the same thing. I was like, I'm not buying you more sporty clothes.
Right.
Because that's all you have.
So. More t-shirts and shorts. Yeah. Right. How funny. Yeah. It's quite different down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, I saw in the news yesterday that my hometown of Kodiak, Alaska was 86 degrees yesterday.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Which sounds fine to me, except for they have zero air conditioning up there. I mean, Safeway is the grocery store is the only place you can go that would have air conditioning. And they go to the beach when it's in the 60s because that's hot for them. So, yeah, they're suffering.
I heard they were having wildfires, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Maybe. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it's Kodiak area, but it was Alaska and up north.
It's a big place.
Yeah,
it is. I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay, that has nothing. Well, it does have something to do with knitting because my mom has all this yarn on the way because she's going to knit my modern Tunisian quilt.
Yeah, I didn't know your mom was also a knitter.
She's not a knitter.
Oh.
She's a crocheter and a sewer and she's actually really good at art. She's really good at drawing and she does stained glass. She's crafty, but she's not a knitter.
So yeah.
Totally not a knitter. I don't even know if she knows how to knit. Honestly. But she emailed me and she said, I have all this yarn that just arrived today and it got there really quickly. And she said, but it's 86 degrees and I can't imagine knitting. And I can see that. Knit every day, but I have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge difference, especially if you're not used to the heat. So
yeah,
she has all this yarn to make a blanket and she just can't imagine even touching yarn when I can't imagine how they're sleeping because it's that hot outside. Yeah. Okay. So I did tie it back to
bring it back to knitting.
or crochet, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, we can magically turn some knitting questions into knitting answers if you're ready to read.
Okay. This is a follow-up, and she says, hi, Casey and Stacey. The knitter on jury duty should bring yarn and knit with sharpened pencils. No need to go to jail. Maria from Boise, Idaho.
Maria, you're thinking. I like the way you think. Because sharpened pencils are perfectly allowed in jury duty. They're not that great to knit with, I would imagine. But perfectly legal.
You're
not
desperate.
Going to jail.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, ladies. Love the podcast. My question is this. For a bottom-up sweater pattern that is knit straight from a cast-on edge to arms, no shaping in the body, can you start a little below the armpits with a provisional cast-on, attach the arms, finish the top, and then pick up at the provisional cast-on and knit the bottom? I hate bottom-up sweaters because I always feel like I'm overbuying yarn so that I won't be playing yarn chicken at the end. Or I end up with a sweater that's absolutely the wrong length for me, despite checking gauge and measuring multiple times. I'm a competent knitter of over 20 years, and I can't figure out why provisional cast-on wouldn't work in this scenario. However, I've never come across a pattern written this way, so maybe experts know something I don't. Any thoughts? Ashley from Tennessee.
Ashley, that's brilliant. That is actually a great idea, and it would solve a lot of problems that I have with bottom-up sweaters as well. Casey has a beautiful sweater that I knit for myself that ended up way too short for me, even though I measured and knew my gauge and everything else. Bottom-up sweaters are not nearly as predictable for getting the right size as top-down, right?
But if she's doing provisional, I'm assuming she's doing the sleeves top-up, bottom-up. So
yes.
Then her stitches are going to be going in different directions.
This is the next part that I want to say is, let's say that it's, she starts at the armpits and knits up and knits the whole yoke into the pattern or mm-hmm. whatever it is. I mean, pattern into the yoke or whatever it is. There might be a color pattern or a stitch pattern or something, but assuming that it's plain stockinette from the armpits down,
mm-hmm.
it shouldn't be a problem. If there is a design, everything's going to be off by half a stitch between the top and the bottom. So that wouldn't, if there's a color design or a stitch mm-hmm. design, that wouldn't work. But if it's plain stockinette, it might show, depending on the yarn, the gauge, the stitches being off half a stitch,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not. She might have.
Or why not just knit a top-down sweater?
Because some things are written bottom-up. That's the thing. When I'm knitting someone else's pattern, I want to knit it the way it is without a lot of modifications.
Yeah.
And I see something beautiful. Yay, I want to knit this bottom up. No, thank you. I'll find something else. That's where I am with bottom up sweaters right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish all the sweaters were just written top down so they'd be an easy fit.
Yeah.
Have you knit bottom up sweaters?
Uh-huh.
You like them?
Not really. Because they tend not to have much. Well, I guess they do have shaping. I like doing sleeves from a top-down sweater a lot better.
Yes, actually, I think we have a question coming up. I read through questions for a few episodes, but I know that we have a question coming up where someone is attaching the sleeves to a bottom-up sweater. And when you attach the sleeves to a bottom-up sweater, you have the tube of the body, and then you attach these two tubes of the sleeves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your circular needles don't really want to. It's so much easier. Top-down is just... Top down's the best.
I know. I'm about to knit a top or bottom up vest. This is a vest I've been promising my husband for like a year and a half.
You have been talking about this vest for a very long time.
I don't want to knit it.
You don't?
Well, he picked out fingering weight yarn. It's going to take me forever.
Yay.
And it's just one color.
Oh, yeah.
And
this
I can't find it. I can't find a pattern that actually fits that gauge. So I have to like kind of write it up myself. I mean, it's simple.
But you know what? I bet he wouldn't even know if you found a pattern that required worsted and you just held it double-stranded and cranked it out. He wouldn't even know.
Hmm. Well, I found one that's gauged, but it's for color work.
Okay.
So I'm going to just follow that stitch count, I think. I don't know. Okay. I keep putting away. Most of all, because my arm hurts when I knit small things.
Right.
So
okay.
That's my excuse right now.
But that's bottom up. You think it's going to be...
It'll be fine. It'll be like a big sock.
It will be. And fingering weight, it will be like knitting a big sock.
I also didn't have the right needles, so it's been like excuse after excuse.
Like, yeah, nothing's coming together with this thing. If you don't want to knit it, nothing's going to come together with this thing. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I so enjoy all that you do. You have helped me knit better for a long time now. I'm working on a sweater. I see spring. It's really cute. I guess that's the name of it.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to look it up as soon as you stop. Finish this question.
It's knitted in the round, short row shaping done flat is used for the shoulders and neckline. I used wraps and turns, and this worked well. The obstacle is the bottom of the sweater where short rows are done in the round to make a curved hem longer in the back than in the front. I'm having trouble picking up the wraps done on the purl side when it goes back to knitting in the round. Humongous holes. Am I on the right track? Keep practicing, or do you have another suggestion? Thanks, Arlene from Fresno, California. P.S. I love all the pics of your pups.
I love all the pics of my pups, too, more than I love the puppies sometimes. Okay, Arlene, yes. Picking up wraps, just traditional wrap and turn, we're not talking about German short rows here, it is tough on the purl side, but I just released a video just a few weeks ago, a slow motion video on picking up wraps, and in slow motion, I show you how you can kind of turn the work towards you so that you're looking at the right side of the work when you pick up the wrap on the purl side. It is almost impossible to see the wrap on the knit side, even in bulky yarn, even, you know, in best light or whatever. But if you just turn the work towards you a little bit, you can see that wrap really easily on the stockinette side. So I will put a link to that video in the show notes, and that I'm sure you're on the right track. It's just hard to see. And if you're not picking it from the right place, it will leave a humongous hole. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Do you have any advice on this one?
No.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs. You take a short quiz and answer questions about your diet, lifestyle, fitness, and health goals, and Care Of puts together a personalized plan just for you. For 25% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter Very Pink. You can get back to a healthy routine. Give yourself support this season with a boost. Whether you're looking for energy, better sleep, to maintain stress, or something else to help you feel your healthiest, their online quiz helps you get exactly what you need. Care Of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices, and takes only 5 minutes to find out your personal, scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. It's easy and convenient. And I can say I am a longtime customer. It's very easy and very convenient. They deliver the vitamin packs and supplement packs all customized to your recommendations, so you're only taking what you really need. And their individually wrapped vitamin packets are now made from compostable plant-based film that meet the same safety standards, so your vitamins are kept fresh while now being better for the environment. And that you can learn more about the compostable packs on the Care Of website. And like I said, I'm a longtime Care Of customer. Every morning I take out the little packet with my name on it and the funny little quip or little bit of information that's on there. It's always fun to read. And I am just adding a new bit to my vitamin pack, my carefully planned vitamin pack. They have something called the Glow Trio, which is for hair, skin, and nails. And so I'm going to be taking that, and you can watch my videos to see if my hair and skin start glowing. That's what I'm waiting for. If you would like to give them a try, I definitely recommend them. I am, like I said, a longtime happy customer. You can go to takecareof.com, and for 25% your first order, put in Very Pink as a coupon code, and we will have all that information in the show notes.
Hi, Stacey and Casey. It's no secret that I love your videos and podcasts. I've been a faithful follower for 8 years.
8 years.
And so much of what I've learned has been thanks to Very Pink. My question is about weaving in ends on lace projects. I just finished your eyelet baby blanket from the Baby Shower Countdown pattern collection. And with all the yarn overs and decreases, there's not really a for sure area to weave in the ends. Do you have any tips for how to do this? I use your umbrellas and smiles method usually, but there isn't really a solid field of them in this case. Thanks so much, and keep bringing on the knitting. Glenna from La Crosse, Wisconsin?
W-I? Yeah, W-I is Wisconsin, yeah. Can you think of another state that starts with W? Oh, West Virginia.
Wyoming.
There's lots of them. Okay, I just couldn't at the moment. I thought that must be the only state that starts with W. So confident I am. Hi, Glenna. Thank you for that question. Now, I'm thinking specifically of my eyelet baby blanket, and there are areas between the yarn overs that you can weave things in. Here's the thing with weaving things into lace. Just do what you have to do. Just make it work. Sometimes you have to take that end and have it travel for a ways away from where, you know, it originated to get to a spot where you have enough to weave in. Sometimes you can weave, and then travel a little bit and weave. You just find a spot where you can do it and get it done. And sometimes if it's you really don't have a lot of room, sometimes it's going to make sense to do the little trick that I use for tying for weaving in cotton ends, where it ends up you split the plies and tie a little knot to secure it. I'll go ahead and put a link to that video in the show notes. There isn't, because lace is so unique with all the different kinds of patterns, there isn't like a really standard thing I can say other than just look at what you have and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, Casey and Stacey. I'm listening to episode 94, and you had two listeners ask about how to correct row gauge. I think that this is a swatch and blocking issue. As someone who hates to swatch, I would prefer to make something that doesn't fit the intended... What?
She would prefer to make something that
doesn't fit and then just find a new recipient. Okay. I thought I was reading that wrong.
What? Casey doesn't even know what this woman's saying.
I don't like knitting a gauge swatch and bothering to wash to block the swatch.
Wow.
I will knit swatches, but then not wash the swatch. Stupid, huh? Anyway, if you wash and block, But she must be a process knitter because she's just like, I just knit that thing and I'm giving it to whoever.
Actually, that's what Elizabeth Zimmerman said. She's like, if she's knitting something, it doesn't end up being the right size. There's always someone else she can give it to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a good policy. But when you're starting off from the very beginning with like, I don't like swatching. I don't like to take those few minutes to knit a swatch. And so this sweater is just going to end up being what it is. Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, that's brave. It's brave.
Wow.
Okay.
Should I keep reading?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you wash and block, the blocking process allows you to yank on the fabric, as Stacy so elegantly called it. You block to a 4x4 inch size, and in doing so, you may be pulling the stitches longer. Yes, this makes the stitch gauge smaller. And then the solution is to change to a larger needle so that when you pull the stitches up slash longer and change the row gauge by doing so, you have enough additional yarn in the stitches to meet the stitch gauge. Think about it. I guess the other option would be to knit more loosely, but the process of using a bigger needle would be easier for most knitters. Love the podcast and all its magic. Anne in Schenectady. Schenectady. I knew I couldn't say that.
You did fine, I think. Yeah. That's how I say it. Oh, I'm not saying that I'm right either.
Well, then she says if you can't pronounce Schenectady, you can say I'm from Gilderland, which isn't that much easier.
Yeah, okay. We know that she's from New York. We've got that. Thank you, Anne. And yes, I remember this is... I'm sure this is what I said in that podcast, is that when you yank on your knitting, you will change the stitch and row gauge. And that's, you really can't change a needle size to change stitch or row gauge. It's going to change the whole size of the stitch.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, what if the person you're knitting for is you and you're like, it doesn't fit me.
Then you have to give it to your podcast co-host.
Right. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. My question is regarding yarn from independent yarn dyers. I understand that yarn dyeing is special, and those who dye yarn work hard to achieve the loveliness they produce. It seems like they are getting credit for something they are not really responsible for. Oh. Do they have anything to do with the quality of yarn? They do order it from somewhere, correct? Are they perhaps getting it from the same place? Is it really their yarn? Does the dyeing process have anything to do with the softness, quality, or sturdiness of the yarn? I do appreciate the work that goes into dyeing, and in no way do I want to belittle their work. Where do the dyers get their yarns? I really love your podcast. It's entertaining and so informative. I look so forward to Wednesday evening. That's when I get it in my part of the world. I'm from Canada. Regards, Anne.
Because a Canadian cannot submit a question without letting us know they're from Canada. Okay. I don't think that dyers are getting credit for something that they don't deserve. I think, maybe it's not clear. Yes, yeah. They buy their yarn. They buy what are called blanks,
right?
Naked yarn, and they dye it. And of course, every dyer has their choice for where they buy those blanks. I think Knit Picks does a big business in selling their naked yarns, natural naked yarns. Yeah, but you can buy it from anywhere. And I know that I've heard knitters talk about this dyer or that dyer, and someone saying, "This dyer has that amazing BFL, that base." And I had to be really careful about that because I'm trying to think of the name of the sheep is like Blueface Leicester or something.
Yeah.
And people are really into that yarn. It's like, oh, yes, this dyer does a beautiful job dyeing. And she uses that BFL base. And so people actually do talk about the bases that the yarn dyers use, but they can buy from anywhere.
Right.
I don't know. Have you put much thought into this?
No.
You just buy it because it's pretty, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Although I have bought yarn from I bought some local yarn when I was traveling, and it was dyed locally with some kind of natural dye.
Yeah.
So that's why I bought it, because it was, but it's not very soft. And so then I was like, I need to pay attention to the, and I think it was that kind of yarn you're talking about.
BFL?
Yeah. It's not like merino soft.
Right.
But, and so I started being a little bit more aware of that kind of what the base was.
Right. Yeah. Looking for merino is a surefire way of being careful about what you're getting. But yes, they can buy yarn from anywhere. And I know that there are, you know, I've heard that there are like naked yarn sellers like out of Peru and stuff. And they just sell boxes and boxes and boxes too.
Yeah.
The yarn dyers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not actually spinning the yarn. They're not actually, they're getting it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real talent they're adding is the colors, dyeing, their expertise on that.
Yeah.
Which we appreciate.
Yes, because I think I would turn it into mush.
Yeah, I don't really want to spin yarn. I don't really want to color yarn. Yeah. I want to leave that to the experts because they are doing such an amazing job, right?
For sure.
Okay, let's get one more question in.
Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I recently got hooked on your podcast and love having a ton of episodes to binge. I'm learning a lot. Both me and my boyfriend, who is forced to listen when we are in the same room together, find your voices very soothing.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
My question is, how do you manage your scraps while not having a stash? A second but related question, in episode 75, Stacey referred to her scrap blanket. How do you manage various weights of yarn and things like superwash versus non-superwash in a single scrap project? Based on later podcast episodes where Stacey said combining superwash with non-superwash is a definite no-go, I don't imagine you combine them. So how do you approach the scrap blanket business? Thank you, Agnes from Ottawa,
the capital of Canada. Oh my gosh. When I'm looking at titling an episode, like a lot of times I want to say something about Canada because they come up so many times in the podcast.
Yeah.
Canadians do. And I can't title every episode after Canada,
though. I know. They would love it.
They would love. Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope they appreciate how much we're talking about them because they're always sure to put it in there, right?
Right.
Okay. The second question I want to answer, don't combine superwash and non-superwash wool in the same project if you ever want to wash that project. That is just something you can do if you're saving scraps. Have one bag for superwash and one for non-superwash. That non-superwash is funny. It's just wool.
Right.
It's just wool. It's not non-superwash. It's just wool. So that's an easy question to answer. But how do you manage your scraps while not having a stash? And I haven't managed stash my scraps very well. I had bags and bags and bags that I took recently. Okay, well, we'll link to this podcast episode that you did an interview with Austin Reuse, mm-hmm. Creative Reuse. Mm-hmm. And they are like Goodwill for crafty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have, well, yarn, fabric, needles.
Paper,
notebooks.
Pens.
Drawing supplies.
Buttons.
Yeah, and then even some big things, too.
Oh, like they had because I follow them on Facebook, they had a vintage typewriter. Yeah. They'll get some really random vintage thing. Yeah. They had like a big weaving loom.
Yeah.
All this cool stuff.
Like every craft you can imagine, everything that's kind of creative and crafty, mm-hmm. they have there, and they have volunteers that are always keeping the shop stocked. And anyway, I had so much stuff to donate to them a few weeks ago that I had to make an appointment for donation because for me to just wander in with that much yarn and needles and everything else was a problem. So what I had was 10 years of leftover stuff.
Right.
Because I don't have a stash, but I had 10 years of leftover stuff that yarn companies have sent me to use in videos and everything else. And I had kept it and I was using it in different projects. And I also use a lot of that stuff in my videos. I always have a little bit of yarn to knit up this little bit of thing to demonstrate something, but it just got to be overwhelming, mm-hmm. way, way too much. And so I literally filled my Jeep, my SUV, and took it up there. So I guess that was a responsible way of managing stash.
Yeah.
I think that Agnes from Ottawa, the capital of Canada, was hoping that I had some amazing, I just whip up this project over and over again, and I don't have that.
Well, and like I've never done a scrap blanket like that because I don't have scraps that are the same weight. Like I would love to do your log cabin blanket, but I would probably have to buy that much worsted because I don't use that much worsted.
Well, you can also just hold fingering double.
Yeah, that's true.
And that project, because it changes directions every little strip,
mm-hmm.
the gauge does not have to be perfect.
Mm.
I mean, it has to be close,
right.
But it doesn't have to be perfect at all.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I think people who do scrap blankets, if they have enough, or maybe they knit a lot of like worsted weight hats in color work.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
That's true. Yes. And then also, that's another thing that I do that I kind of forgot about until you just said that, is I really like knitting hats with color work because you only need a little bit of yarn in two or three colors to get that done.
Yeah.
And then Christmas comes around and I have this whole stack of hats, beautiful hats that I've knit up. Oh, yeah, I made this for you. Well, I made it for a head. I didn't make it. But they feel very special.
Yeah.
Casey, that is all we have time for this week.
Okay.
If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. So that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.